going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
You know why I'm playing the Mavericks today, don't you?
I do. They're out. They're actually here tonight.
They're here tonight.
Who I love also is Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
It'd be a great show.
Here comes my happiness again.
And thank you for hitting the post, Sue Thomas.
You're
that
welcome.
Is a professional radio host right there. I've often said of the Mavericks, and Sue and I share our love for this band. Rahm
so
Mallow
great.
Is amazing. For me, and this is not overstating it, there are two great bands on the planet that I've been fans of for decades. The E Street Band, one of the most amazing live performances. You got to take the politics out of the mix. And those of you who've seen Bruce, you know this. But the Mavericks are the type of band that you could go, you don't have to know any of the music.
That's right.
You're going to be blown away. I almost feel a little guilty, or not guilty, but sorry for Dwight Yoakam, because they're warming up for Dwight Yoakam. I know he's going to be spectacular
he's
as well.
He's awesome.
But Rahm Mallow and his band, they should be headlining. It's ridiculous. They're a warm-up
They're
band.
Just fun.
Yeah, they are just fun.
The keyboard player, he wears kind of fun hats and suits, and they have a great horn section. There's a lot of power to that music. So I can't go because we have a lot going on with getting ready for this trip, but I wanted to plug that because I love those guys so much. They usually play the pageant, and they haven't done that recently. I think they might have been at the factory soon.
I would have loved that.
I got to get my friend John Lynch, who is a big music guy. We share a lot of passion. Fred, you've been to the Break Room concerts. He has never seen the Mavericks, and it's the one band that I want to take John to and force him to watch because, again, I almost was thinking about this earlier. I'm not doing this. I just want to state on the record that I'm not doing this, but I can almost make the offer. You go buy a ticket for that show, and if you don't like it, I'll reimburse you. I'm not doing that.
I understand.
Just in case.
No, I think you're right.
Right.
And let's not forget Trisha Yearwood was married to the bassist.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, she was married to Robert Reynolds for a little bit of time.
Look
I can't
at
remember.
You.
And I only know that just from the old days. But
I
yeah,
like
and then
that.
It's only been Garth since then. But I always have that in my mind when I think of them.
That's a good memory for sure. Okay, I wanted to share something that is humiliating and embarrassing. But honestly, I don't know what to do. Sue's going to laugh at me here. So I had a lunch that was scheduled for today with a guy. And it was set up several weeks ago. Okay, like 3 weeks ago. Pick a date. Thursday, what's the day? The 24th. I don't even remember the day. But I said to my friend Mark Sutherland, we know Mark, he is like the official consulate of
Great Britain.
Great Britain or something like that. And this, when I talk about him, I have to...
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Mark, I'm going to do this lunch, but you got to remind me. You got to remind me, because I forget stuff, right? I forget stuff all the... Fred, you know this.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
My boss knows
yeah,
this.
Yeah, the last dinner we had.
I forgot.
You forgot.
Right. So, Monday... Mark Sutherland texts me, hey, friendly reminder, lunch coming up on Thursday. Awesome.
Nice,
thank you so much.
Nice.
Right? Yesterday morning, hey, Friendly reminder number two, lunch coming up tomorrow on Washington Avenue. Then I get that text message. I'm in my kitchen at my little breakfast bar, whatever you want to call it. I write down big, bold letters on my little scratch pad, if you will. Lunch Thursday, exclamation point. About noon today, I get a call from the person I'm supposed to have lunch with. And I
Mark,
you can you
have a phone where you write it in there and it will literally remind you at the amount of time set. 2 hours before.
It doesn't seem to do that.
Two days before. You can set it yourself.
I do that.
Have Alexa set it for you.
Oh, that's a good plan, Fred.
Let me look and see if I have this on. I did not have it on my calendar for today, I will tell you. But Sue, honest to God, Fred knows this. It doesn't matter if it's on the calendar or not. I don't look at the calendar, so how do I know about these things?
Because it will remind you. You literally will set it. You'll say, on Thursday, remind me 2 hours in advance for everything.
I don't pay attention to that stuff, though.
Well, then...
Because I do reminders. I know how to do that. I know how to set a reminder.
Yes, you could set an alarm even when you woke up in that morning and say...
I'll forget what it's for.
I don't think there's any hope.
I felt so badly. I really
you
did.
Should.
I felt so.
The guy reminded you twice.
Yeah, but he didn't remind me today.
It's not on him.
I think it is, if you really are looking at the situation. But what I was doing, and the reason that I couldn't do lunch today, is because I was doing landscaping. And I went to Lowe's, and I always like to feature the top 10 items that are stolen at Lowe's. Because if you go to Lowe's, and you look for the restroom, which I always have to find. In the back. You walk back there, and then it's where the employee lounge is.
Yeah,
right?
It's
I usually go in there and I grab some things from the fridge, and then I go, I don't do that. There's a sign back there that says the top stolen items, you know, for this particular week. Now, I was telling Fred that...
Wait, is that really a weekly list? They put it up, like, and switch it every week?
Yeah.
Or like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it just says this. It says Lowe's of Fenton, top 5 high theft items. Usually they're 10.
So it's store specific.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen it at other Lowe's as well, but this is the one that I go to. So the Ego, and I think I have one of these. Ego, it looks like it's a leaf blower kit.
Yeah.
It says, look, it's $219. It is, they've had 12 walk out the door at a cost
of... Is it a trimmer?
I think it says blower.
Oh, okay.
Okay, $2,100 stolen. Wow. The Met roofing nailer. This is always a popular item.
Roofing nailer.
It's $299. Nine of them left the store.
Dang.
$2,042 loss. The DW 20-volt max for battery combo, a very popular item. You know how much that thing is, though?
No.
$329.
Dang.
Maybe they use it on the roofing nailer. I'm not sure. 8 of those walked out that store at a cost of $1,185.
How did they get out of there?
Actually, that math doesn't even make sense. If those things are 329 and then there's 8 of them, I don't know. Their math is terrible. It's like me doing the math here. Then there's, I don't know what this is. ETNTRSTGCFI 125 volt 3-pack.
No idea.
$39. 44 of those walked out the door. And
44.
Then the CM 20 volt 4AH 2AH starter kit. I have multiple of those.
Yeah,
of course, everybody has
that.
149, 13 of them left the store. So look at
that.
It
must be small. The biggest thing then people are getting out with is that leaf blower. I didn't really know what the rest of it was, but I assume that's it. A roof nailer gun is this. I mean, it would be awkward, wouldn't it?
Well, do they have a lot of things behind in cages?
They have more than they used to. Like if you go back to where the a lot of the screwdrivers and stuff with all the attachments,
the hardware
they
stuff.
Seem to keep that behind lock and key. But you know, I always do the self checkout. They don't have a lot of people at Lowe's, but they always have the guy. Like there's somebody that's kind of keeping an eye on you, so you have to have. I don't know. Guess they don't think they're going to be caught because they just walk it out the door.
That is just disgusting. And then, of course, we all pay for it.
Right.
I'm just saying.
And a lot of it is contractors. I mean, if you the nailing gun and some of these things, right?
It's I'm not doing that myself.
Trying to get off on the cheap there. But anyway, I just wanted to share that for you. It's always one of my fun things to go into Lowe's, especially on a day where I'm missing a lunch.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Okay. On this day in history, in 1953, the great St. Louis bank robbery took place. Now, do you guys know about this, Fred? Do you know
about
this?
I've heard about it, yeah.
Mark? I don't remember the details, no.
Okay, I went down the rabbit hole of this thing today. All right. It happened at Southwest Bank at Kings Highway in Southwest. Right there, just a little bit south of 44. Okay, and by the way, I call it the Great St. Louis Bank Robbery because it was eventually made into a movie called The Great St. Louis Bank Robbery, and they had Steve McQueen as the getaway driver. It was like one of his first roles. Have you seen this movie?
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen some of the scenes because they filmed, I think they filmed
they
even
filmed
some of this at like the Lake of the Ozarks.
No, they filmed it at the actual bank.
Right, but I think some of it might have been in different parts of Missouri as well.
Well, they had Steve McQueen as the getaway driver. Here's what actually happened. 60-year-old Fred William Bowerman entered the bank with his armed crew to rob it. Now, somehow, some folks at the bank, somebody was able to hit the silent alarm, and somebody else, because it was a big bank, somebody else was able to call the police. And this is without the robbers noticing it. So it happens that two officers are not that far away. So they come screaming in, and pretty fast. So as soon as the getaway driver, who of course is eventually played by Steve McQueen, sees them, he's like, I'm out. He tears out. And he was an old college football player. He was a star as a college football player.
Steve was?
This was his first. Yeah, Steve probably was. The actual getaway driver.
Oh, the actual getaway driver.
The actual getaway driver who drives off is like, what am I doing? I'm a former college football star. I'm out of here. This is my first, you know.
Robbery,
and I'm getting out. So more and more police arrive until there's about 100 officers. Well, of course, the bank robbers think, well, we're never going to get out of here. They're backed into a corner. One of them, Bowerman, takes a woman hostage. But one of the two first officers on the scene was able to shoot him and take him out. He didn't die for another week, but he was down. And they start to have people lining the streets. They're watching because all this gunfire is happening. So it's a shootout. One of the bad guys realized that he can't get out, shoots himself to avoid arrest. They arrest the rest of the people involved in the gang, and they got him. They even found the getaway driver, who was Glenn Chernick. He had driven all the way to Chicago. But since he was a known entity, they managed to get him, too. And then just 5 years later, they shoot this movie at the same bank. And they let the cop who took out the bad guy, he was in it as himself.
Well, you need to do a history of the Louis Sioux on that, don't you think?
Yes.
I'm just amazed that there were 100 police officers that showed up.
Yeah, well, it was back in the 50s, right. Fred, when people liked that sort of thing.
Aren't you a little surprised that there was a silent alarm in 1939?
Yes. Now? Well, 53.
Oh, 53, I'm sorry. Well, that makes more sense. Sorry, I think I messed up my math there.
And the producers, since it was so recently after it happened, had used people who were there that day. Used consumers who were actually in there. So it's probably not that well acted. But Steve McQueen's good, probably.
It's authentic.
But I was fascinated by that today. All right, for you guys, it's lawn mowing season. But there was a story out today that said, are you doing it correctly? Here are four ways you might be mowing your grass wrong. Fred, listen
up. I'm doing
up.
All four wrong.
Let's see here. We're going to test this out. Ethan, do you cut the lawn?
I live in an apartment.
He's in an apartment.
So you don't have to worry about this yet, right? All right. Have you cut lawns before, though?
Oh, yeah. Summer jobs. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Number one, this is the expert. This, according to expert lawn care, always mowing in the same direction. This is what you're supposed to do You're not.
Oh, because I don't do it in the same direction. So I get that one right.
That's good.
Yeah.
You probably alternate each pass going back and forth, but they mean switching it up every time you mow.
I do.
Do each pass the opposite of how you did it the last time. Fred, is that happening in your lawn?
I am like a remote.
No, I do that
robot.
Every time.
I do the same square
does
every
it say
time.
Why?
It trains the grass to lean one way or the other if you do it that way, and you want to just bring it back up.
Yeah,
of course,
and
Mark
have
Reardon
it look better.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I had no idea. I just know that it kind of looks cool with the patterns that it leaves.
Right, well, of course, Mark was going for the cool patterns.
I don't know how to do the patterns.
Hey, there's an art to it.
There
it's
is.
An art.
Right. It's not that hard. You cut it one way, and then the next time you kind of cut it at an angle, and the next time you cut it at the different angle, the next time you cut it straight across. That's all you do.
There is mix it up.
There is something about a well-mowed lawn.
Yeah, there's something
with the good designs or the good lines.
Yes. You come and see
it's
my
satisfying.
Lawn right now. I'm telling you, I'm top five in the neighborhood.
I grew up in a home with a dad that was cracked out for mowing the lawn and making sure it looked good.
I bet he was
your traditional like white suburban dad. Like, He 3-4 times a week mowing the lawn.
Wow. 3 or 4 times a
week? Yes, during the point where it's growing a lot.
Wow.
Yes,
Joyce,
like, wow.
My neighbor Joyce does it that much.
Dang.
But I've cut my lawn this exact same direction 25 years now.
Oh, Fred.
So don't ever come into my house to look at my lawn.
Well, no. Just what you can now things, start though? It. Yeah. Okay, this is not great for the grass or soil either. So just to start.
Okay.
Okay, of course you don't start in the middle because that doesn't make any sense. Don't be an idiot. Also, don't use the wrong mower for the job. Do you really need a riding mower? Mm. Now, I will often see a guy on a riding mower in a lawn that is way too small to be
Pet
using.
Peeve.
Yep.
Pet
is
peeve.
It?
It's lazy.
Yep.
It's lazy.
And it's hard to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really make it unless you've got one of those zero turns, and even so, it's not. So don't do that if your yard is not that big. And number 4, if you've never sharpened the blades, you really need to do that. Mark, you're only on year 2.
Yeah, that's the thing. I thought about this spring, but I hadn't used it that much, so I decided to wait on that.
Okay, you're okay. Yeah. Fred?
Oh, no. I
like
just buy,
25
buy a new
years?
One.
How
just,
do you do you buy a new
well,
one?
Well, don't you need a new lawnmower like every
5 or 8 years, maybe?
How do you sharpen them?
You really you
take it
them.
To some place to
you
sharpen
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So it's not something you're doing yourself.
Well,
okay,
now
gotcha.
You can buy a sharpener, according to this guy. You can buy it online for about $10, but just don't get them too sharp because that's not good either. Razor sharp blades are more likely to chip if they hit a rock, so you want them to be about as sharp as a kitchen knife. But not as sharp as a razor blade.
All
Fred,
do,
come on.
You put your finger up there when it's spinning around,
right.
And you just kind of
see.
Oh,
good Lord. So, yeah, you could take them to someplace, Fred. It's a lot cheaper than getting your mower, a new mower.
Was there one
so
more?
Often.
Because there's something else that people do wrong that I think they do wrong, and
no,
I don't
there's
do it.
No other one. What is it?
You got to cut your grass pretty high. I know that people don't like cutting it high, but you got to cut it high because it just looks better. It's not going to, you know, die as much. So I cut mine relatively high because it's so thick and luscious.
Oh,
that's the word
gosh.
I would use. Green, luscious, thick. Got to cut it high.
That's why my dad does it so many times a week.
Oh, yeah, well, that's you got to keep it
I
high.
I get it.
That's interesting. Plus, I love that you're a lawn expert after 1 year.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, look, I used to cut lawn. I told you this. I did it when I was a kid.
That's true.
I was on the border in Wisconsin of needing that aforementioned situation. It was like right on the border. Do I need a riding mower? Nah, too small for it. But it was an hour and 15, 20-minute job, that lawn was.
Yeah, that's a serious job.
That,
what are you going to say?
Does that mean that he's, what, 6 months away from being a baking expert, too?
Oh, well,
I'm already
he's
a baking
already
expert.
He, in his own mind.
Well, it hasn't been
he's
a year.
There.
I have to say something about that because, and I was a little confused. You guys, you surprised me the day after I got back from my birthday, right? It was a Tuesday. I wasn't here on a Monday. Was it you that gave me the cookies?
No, that was, I'm cake.
I know, but Jane said she didn't give them to me. So who gave me these cookies?
Oh, I don't know.
They were called,
Fred did the recording.
Sue is cake.
I'm cake. I don't know.
They were called cowboy cookies.
What?
And
oh,
they
wait
were
a minute.
Excellent.
Sure it was from
this
work?
Is ringing a bell.
Are you
who
sure you didn't
that?
Give me that?
I'm positive.
Okay. Jane says she didn't do it, so I don't
could
know.
Trisha?
Cowboy cookies. Why does that ring a bell?
Was Annie? It a fish? Was someone at the know. Fish fry?
Maybe
no,
that?
No, it was
no?
here.
It was
here. All I know is, man, those are good. They might have been a little better than mine.
Not a lot.
What?
Say that.
That is a shock.
It was like
you're
a
professional after all.
It was like an oatmeal, but with nuts, and oh my God, it was delicious.
Cowboy
cookies.
Was it multiple ones? What
yeah, there
was
were four. There were 2 packets of 2.
Huh.
There's now only 1 packet of 2.
Well, I can't believe they've lasted
who
this
liked
long.
You enough
they
to
were
give
in
you
packets.
Cookies.
Well, they were, yeah, they were kind of in like a just a cellophane
you
thing.
That.
Yeah,
oh,
I heard.
Oh, he just chose to ignore it.
He just chose to ignore. That's how it goes. And yesterday was World Book Day. The UN made it official holiday. I bring this up because of Mark actually leaving and the possibility of him reading something on the plane.
I'm going to read David Zweig's book for sure.
Okay,
abundance of caution, because I may even buy it. He sent me a digital copy, but I don't like reading a book on my iPad. I just don't. I've tried.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
like to hold an actual book. Fred?
I think David Zweig was just on CBS Mornings this morning, so you
I
may want to watch that.
He was
see
on
how
Kill Me, too.
On how
really?
He, how
yeah.
he did.
Yeah, but who had him first?
That's right.
Duh. Did.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, I love to read books.
Do you like a book, or are you like a...
Right now, I'm more into just sort of baseball books, history
computer
books.
Computer or a hardback book, like an actual physical book?
It's got to be a physical book.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Fred. 63% of us would like to read more. 66% have a collection of books at home probably lined up in the shelf like trophies they never read. Is that you, Mark Reardon?
I got all my books from the interviews that I did over the years, and I never read one of them. I came from
that's
the
impressive,
Larry,
though.
Well,
huh?
I came from the Larry King school of...
skimming?
Look, there's no way that you could get a book and then read the whole... Charlie Brennan's like the only person that I ever knew could do that. But I always felt like you're going to ask more questions. I skim, and then I come up with, you know, I'll skip around, but yeah, I can't read the whole thing. No, why would I do that? Even after the interview, Sue.
Well, that's a good point. People have top five excuses. I don't have time because of other life activities. I prefer other forms of entertainment. I don't have enough time because of work. I don't have enough time because of my kids. That's right. Blame the kids. And I have trouble focusing while reading.
I want to know what movie Mark read in honor of National Book Day. What movie did he watch?
Can I just be honest
Day?
About it? I'm just going to be honest about it. I have more than enough time to read a book. I just don't do it, and I wish that I would. So maybe this will be the game changer this weekend on the cruise, or next week on the cruise.
I hope so. That would be cool. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact, and it's random. The word turquoise is based on the word Turkish, because it described the color of the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of southern Turkey. We get turquoise from Turkey.
Which makes pretty complete
color.
Sense, but I was unaware.
Uh-huh.
There you go. A random fact for a Thursday afternoon. The Mavericks tonight. Family Arena. It's going to be awesome. I wish I could be there with Rob Mallow and the team, but they're a great, great band. Go see them.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
I don't think I do a lot of country on the bumper music, but today I did.
Yeah, I'm a turner.
I love Miranda Lambert.
I turn pages all the time. I
also love the Free Press. If you go to thefp.com, you're going to find content that I believe is very unique compared to some of the legacy outlets. And I've been a fan since Barry and the team started over there. I'm a fan of Franny Block, who's back with us this afternoon. She wrote a story about a guy who's a state rep in New Hampshire that I found fascinating, and she was nice enough to join us here again this afternoon. Hi, Franny. How are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
I thought this was really interesting, and I had not heard about this guy. His name is Jonah Wheeler. He's a young African-American Democrat, but he's taken some stands that have been counter to the Democrat Party, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and he is a really interesting figure, I think, in kind of making us question what's the future of the Democratic Party going to look like? Is it going to be leaders like Jonah, or is it going to be somebody else? And to give you a little bit of background on why I think he's worth national news is that just a couple weeks ago, he stood up in the New Hampshire State House and he declared that he was going to join the state's Republicans in voting for a bill that would essentially ban transgender women from women's restrooms. And he gave a speech about why he wanted to do that. He talked about how many constituents in his district had come up to him and expressed concerns, and he was voting for them. And as he was speaking, over 100 Democrats in the state house, New Hampshire is one of the biggest state houses in the country, they walked out in protest. And since then, he's been called a series of names, a puppet of the right, a Nazi, a fascist. And I went and I profiled him. I thought, this is a really interesting character. And he told me, listen, as a party, we have to be able to disagree on issues of consequence. It's okay. It's okay for us to have different opinions. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It doesn't mean that we can call each other names. That's not how a successful party functions. And I thought, in the wake of an election where the Democrats, especially in New Hampshire, struggled so much, they lost the state house, they lost the state senate, and they lost the governor's race. I just thought he had a really interesting message for what he thinks the party needs to do to move forward.
I don't like some of this that happens on the other side. For example, I don't play the rhino game. I hate that because, you know, there's people, for I'll use Paul Ryan, and Paul's a friend. He's like nom de plume amongst conservatives. He's a guy that fought for conservative principles. He was a student of Jack Kemp, and he's not a rhino. But, of course, he didn't do things, and the party's changed since then. But so I don't like playing that game. But with Democrats, what's even more interesting to me is, and you said 100 people, 100 of the 177 Democrats walked out in protest. This is not a close issue amongst Democrats if you poll them. Overwhelmingly, they are on the side of Jonah Wheeler.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what's really interesting about how this has become such a flashpoint in the culture war, particularly in our politics, when, as you said, when you look at polling, overwhelmingly Americans, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, not just independents, but Americans overwhelmingly do support legislation like that. I think Donald Trump's executive order banning transgender women from women's sports is one of probably the most popular executive orders that's ever been signed, simply just if you look at polling. And so this is an issue where, as you said, people are not actually that far apart. But politically in state houses, this has become very controversial. And for him to do this, it really was a huge statement, as evidenced by the backlash that he's gotten.
Yeah, I love what he told you here. You know, he said the party has moved to this place where you have to agree with me or you're the devil. That's not a winning message. And he said, here they are attacking me as a puppet of the right because I disagree with them on one bill. And he said that, you know, of his colleagues, they know nothing about the reality of the people of the state of New Hampshire and what they're going through, what it means to not have heat in your house, what it means to lose your electricity on the flick of a dime, 11:30 in the middle of the week. There are very few people who are poor in this caucus and very few people who know what it's like to be poor. Here you have a young, you know, African-American, good-looking dude, you know, and he's out there trying to do things maybe that are more important than having biological men in female restrooms. I don't know. That's my guess.
Well, I think what's really interesting and important about Jonah's story is what you just mentioned about his background, that he grew up a single mother, at times homeless, at times, you know, needing to rely on people in the community to feed him and his family. And so he really knows what that experience is like. And he actually got his introduction to politics working for Bernie Sanders in Vermont, just next door.
Fascinating.
And he was really intrigued, he told me, by this kind of economic populist message, this economic revolution that Bernie was promising. And that's really what inspired him to be a part of politics as well. And now, you know, I ask him what he thinks of Bernie today. He says he can't stand Bernie Sanders right now because he thinks Bernie Sanders has become too establishment. So it's really, his story is so interesting because I asked him, for example, like, why do you label yourself as a Democrat? If you disagree on, you know, some of these social issues. And he said, because my economic message is the Democratic Party's economic message. He wants Medicaid for all. He wants, you know, Social Security. And so he really has kind of this kind of old style Democratic politics, but he is really trying to bring the party back to that today. And I think that's a really interesting message for somebody so young.
I thought it was interesting, too, because yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we talked about it was the 20th anniversary of YouTube. And he's a guy that tells you that he went on YouTube and just watched speeches of politicians. And that's how he kind of learned to do his thing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? And I asked him, I joked with him, he sounds a lot like Barack Obama when he speaks. He really does. And his cadence, even kind of the depth of his voice. And I asked him, I said, did you watch Barack Obama videos? And he kind of chuckled and he said, well, maybe subconsciously some of that kind of came through to me. But I thought that was, it's really kind of interesting. The modern day politician, that's how he learned.
Well, I love the fact, you know, he's going to certainly be on the other side of many issues from me. But I think that there's something that runs deep in politics on both sides. And that's a lack of intestinal fortitude. I'll keep it kind of clean for you here, Franny. Maybe say something different for a male that was my guest. But you don't have a lot of guts. And the Republicans show this all the time, sadly, as well. But in this case, what's interesting is you have a young guy like this in Jonah Wheeler. You have Gavin Newsom that's kind of had to admit this just because he's running for president. You have John Fetterman, who seems to have some courage and some guts on some of these issues, maybe not on that issue. I'm a little disappointed with him on that. But it will be interesting to see if he has a path forward in the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. And I have heard from other politicians that the state Democratic Party has tried to get somebody else to take his seat and encouraged other candidates to run in his district. So we'll see. It might be an uphill battle for him. But he seems rather undeterred. And I ended the story kind of with this, what I thought was a fun little interaction with him, where we were walking in the hallways of the New Hampshire State House and we're looking up at all these portraits of all of these past governors of the state. And I asked him, I said, do you want to be governor one day? Do you want to go to D.C.? What are your ambitions? You're only 22 years old. And he said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I do think the State House needs a really good speaker. Should I run for that?
Yeah.
So I do think he has some ambitions going forward, and we'll see what he does.
What's the divide in the House? They have a Republican governor, Kelly Ayotte, right? But what are the numbers like for Republicans and Democrats in the House out there in the Senate? Do you know?
So they Republicans have a majority in the House. They have a supermajority in the state Senate, and they've won the governor's race. And this all happened in the last election, which is not what polling showed. Polling showed it was going to be much closer on all of these races. And it was, I mean, it was truly a blowout.
But didn't Trump lose New Hampshire in the end?
You know what? That's a great question. I can't remember. Yeah, New Hampshire is a very close state. It's always very purple when it comes to the presidential election. It's always super, super close. But it normally, the past two decades has gone for the Democratic candidate.
Well, Franny, great work here again. I was really intrigued when I read the piece. And you guys, as I've always indicated, do great work at the Free Press. So thank you so much for jumping on here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Check out thefp.com for your new content. What's a little different from the Free Press is I go to the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the LA Times, all this other crap, and they have new content every day. The Free Press doesn't have as much new content because they don't have as big a staff, but it's always very unique and interesting, and they're approaching it from different angles. And then Barry Weiss has a podcast as well that's pretty darn good. I think I even have something from that. On the topic of Democrats, Sue, have you heard any of the controversy about David Hogg? Do you know who David Hogg is?
Mm-mm.
He was one of the kids that came out of the terrible Parkland shooting, but he became sort of a bit of a, you know, spokesman, if you will, for anti-gun situation. Obviously, he went through a traumatic situation. He's 25 years old now, and he's been kind of chirping out there on Twitter saying stupid things for a while. But he is now one of the five vice chairs in the Democratic National Committee, and he's trying to stir things up. And he's actively looking for people to primary other Democrats, which isn't typically something you do when you're part of the DNC. So the chair of the DNC, a guy named Ken Martin, is actually putting Hogg on notice.
Let me be unequivocal. No DNC officer should ever attempt to influence the outcome of a primary election, whether on behalf of an incumbent or a challenger. If you want to challenge incumbents, you're more than free to do that, but just not as an officer of the DNC, because our job is to be neutral arbiters. We can't be both the referee and also the player at the same time.
Yeah, neutral arbiters, when a guy who's in the White House, who's an incumbent, who is literally, you know, drooling on himself and can't remember what happened a few minutes ago, they had to be neutral arbiters. That's why they couldn't, you know, call for some sort of replacement outside of Kamala. But here's James Carville. James Carville, old guard Democrat, right? Not happy where the new guard Democrats are. David Hogg, you'll hear him in this as well. So here's Carville first.
The DNC, ideally, it should be an organization that's trying to beat Republicans, not other Democrats.
You have a fiduciary duty to your employer, which anybody can understand. He's being paid to run against other Democrats. I think it's an outrage. I don't know if I have standing, but I might give the DNC $10 and sue him. He's a contemptible little twerp.
What's his plan to deal with our 27% approval rating? That's my question to him. The fact of the matter is, right now, our party is in a crisis. We are seeing people lose faith in our party. They're losing faith in democracy across the country. And we need to make sure that we're getting people to vote for Democrats. Carville believes in a politics of being timid, of hiding. I believe in fighting. And that is what people want to see right now from the Democratic Party.
I don't think he's wrong about that. I think that there is a core that wants to see fighting, as a core of the Republicans want to as well. But I don't think it matches up with where the rest of the country is, because they want to fight for things that are 80-20 issues. David Hogg wants to fight for things that are 80-20 issues. It's not an illegitimate criticism of the party to say, look, we got 27% approval, but the path to more approval is what? To get more crazy and act like lunatics? That's apparently what he wants. And Carville and some of the old guard, they don't want that right now. We're coming back. Don't forget, we got Scott Jennings coming up after the top of the hour, plus an audio cut of the day in the next hour.
Why are you beating love?
Well, we run down media malfeasance and malpractice on this show literally on an hourly basis. I could say on a daily basis, but it's sometimes on an hourly basis. I want to give you another example here this afternoon. By the way, we got Scott Jennings coming up after the top of the hour. He'll talk about some of this as well. He has to, you know, swipe his panel up the side of the head a lot on CNN. Sue, I don't know if you saw this a couple of weeks ago, and you can still Google this, and you can see several stories that come up. Here's one from MSN. With eggs too expensive for Easter, parents are making a strange swap. Parents across America, because of egg prices, are using potatoes. Did you hear about that?
I saw that, yes.
Here's the deal. It was all a bunch of BS. It was completely manufactured. Somebody on a, you know, Twitter site or something like that, made a crack about that. Like, oh, eggs are so expensive, you're probably using potatoes. And as they always do, the mainstream media ran with it
that
like it was a real story.
Hilarious.
And it was never a real story. And they did countless stories after stories after stories.
Oh, yeah. It came down into feeds for show prep.
No, because it was a bunch of BS. It was never even happening. But, you know, they wanted to make it happen. It's kind of the opposite of, this is what I find interesting. When J.D. Vance says, or President Trump says, they're eating the cats and dogs, the instinct isn't to find out, oh, man, are they really eating the cats and dogs? Right? Are they?
Right.
Let's go there. Right? But the instinct on this one is to say, oh, yeah, people are using potatoes. They're using potatoes.
Doesn't even make sense, which is why I didn't do it. But
it makes zero sense. Now, here's another one. And I might have just gotten paywalled on this one, but I can still kind of run it down for you here. So there are stories out there. Maybe you've seen them. Have you seen anything out there about J.D. Vance breaking the rules at the Sistine Chapel before he killed the Pope?
Yeah, I did, but okay. I didn't click.
Have you been at the Sistine Chapel?
I have.
So I've been there before the renovation and after the renovation. I'm going to tell you right now, the last time I was in the Sistine Chapel, my iPhone came out and snapped some pictures, okay? Wasn't supposed to do that. Now, I broke the rules. I'm just going to tell you, broke the rules. Shouldn't have done that, but I wanted some pictures. J.D. Vance, did he break the rules? He did not.
Oh, really?
So the Daily Beast, and they're it's clickbait. I get it, and I was enough to click on it. But they do this whole story about, you know, how it's an embarrassing gaffe and a White House publicity stunt revealed. Wait, I have to get this to come up because I keep in the reveal the vice president's glaring faux pas. You go to the bottom of the page, right? The bottom of the site finally says, it's like one of the last paragraphs. Oh, the Vatican tells us that he was given permission to do it, not unlike Michelle Obama and the others. But of course, because it's Trump, again, it's all about Trump.
Bury it at the bottom.
If Trump's involved, though, again, the instinct is not to say, did this really happen? It's to say, oh, yeah, of course it happened, right? Because we know that people are dying potatoes, even though they don't. And on this one, no one bothered or they didn't care to look at the facts and say, hey, maybe he had permission to do this, because he did have permission to do it. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. And that potato thing was everywhere, Mark.
Media malpractice.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Media malpractice 101. We will highlight some more of it, I'm sure, with Scott Jennings, who's coming up on the other side of the news here. Cassie Smedley, who is an awesome political guest, also in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day. Heart, never
been like this before. Get more at 971talk.com.